I'm going to ask Brother Cody Bullman to come around. He pastors the Bethlehem Baptist Church over in Burke County. And I appreciate this young man. He and Miss Kaylee got married. I ain't never been to a wedding in my life like their wedding. I mean, we had a revival meeting that day. They went to shouting, waving their hands. I mean, right there in the middle of a wedding. You say, surely not. Yes, sir, I was part of it. I couldn't help it. I mean, God is there. Amen. I appreciate this young man. You hear him gladly. You help him this morning. Amen. You preach for us, Cody. It's good to have you. Love you.
If you're willing and able this morning, would you stand with us while we read the scripture? Turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Amen. While you're finding your place, let me try my best to express my gratitude for the privilege to stand. There are many men far more capable than I, but I thank you, men, from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate the opportunity to get to come and preach this morning. But it is on my heart to highlight a statement here in the scripture. When you find your place in Galatians 6, would you look with me at verse number 12? Galatians 6 and verse number 12. The Bible reads like this. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And here's the verse that has my heart this morning. Paul says in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. The book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul to these young churches in the province of Galatia that were comprised mostly of Jews. Here within this epistle, Paul is very troubled over these young churches. These freshly converted Jews are being strongly affected and influenced by false teachers crept in unawares. Legalistic Judaism was putting pressure upon the people of God to keep conformity to the law. Throughout this book, there is a great contrast being presented. Operating in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. This is why Paul lists out to us the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in chapter number 5. The problem in the Galatian church is the same problem that we have this morning. People are not willing to live the life of the cross. They are operating in the flesh. They are seeking their own fulfillment and their own satisfaction and their own glory. But Paul's God-given solution was to present before his hearers the theme of the cross. Living the life of the cross will take care of this battle going on between flesh and spirit. Living the life of the cross will take care of how we conduct the details of our lives. In the book of Galatians, there is a battle being waged. And the battle can be summed up in one question. Who will get the glory? And here in this question is not only presented to us the key of the book of Galatians, but it is the question upon which we must approach our own lives as well. Who is getting the glory? As you survey your life and you consider the decisions you make and the motives that you have and every finite detail of your life, you too must ask yourself this question. Who is getting the glory? There was much that Paul could have gloried in. He could have gloried in his nationality, for he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He could have gloried in his knowledge of the law, for he was a Pharisee. He could have gloried in his keeping of the law, for he was blameless. He could have gloried in his zeal, for he persecuted the church in the name of religion. But Paul forsook all glory in his former zeal and religion, and from the depths of his soul he cried, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does Paul forsake all glory within the energy of his own flesh, but here in our text this morning, he is even specific about what he will glory in when it comes to the merits of the Lord Jesus as well. There is much glory that can be found as we survey the life of the Lord Jesus. Paul could have gloried in the creation of the Lord Jesus, for he is the creator of all. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by Him, and there was nothing made that He did not make. Brother, He is the one who created the moon. He's the one who made the sun. He's the one who created the stars. He's the one who made the planets. He's the one with such precision and such detail created each and every individual star and gave them a name. He is the one who painted galaxies. It's Him. It's Christ Jesus the Lord, the creator of all, the engineer of the universe, the divine composer of the world with divine intelligence and eternal power. He formed and molded and shaped and made everything that is tangible within our world of worlds. It is Him. He's God, and He's God alone. Very God of very God. The creator, the ruler, the maker of all. The very one who hung the stars in the sky. The very one who carved the rivers with His fingers. The very one who formed the mountains with His hands. The very one who painted galaxies out of the storehouse of His own wisdom. The very one who told the oceans where to stop. The Creator God who spoke and all of creation leaped into existence at the word of His command. He could have gloried in the creation of our Lord Jesus, but He also could have gloried in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Angels sang of it. Wise men came from the east to behold it. Did not the newborn King awake the song from heaven? Glory to God in the highest. He might have gloried in the life of the Lord Jesus. For was there ever such another, so benevolent and so blameless? He could have gloried in the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. For He was holy, blameless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. When reviled, the Bible says, He reviled not again. He could have gloried in the preaching of the Lord Jesus. For the Bible said that never a man spake like this man. He might have gloried in the healing hand of the Lord Jesus. He met blind men and made them see. He met deaf men and made them hear. He met lame men and made them walk. He met dumb men and made them talk. The Lord Jesus is the worst thing that ever happened to the funeral home business, because He met dead men and He made them live. Paul could have gloried in the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus, for the winds and the waves were subservient to His word. Sickness and disease fled before His command. Demons were subject to His authoritative bidding. Even the dead came forth in response to His mighty word. Paul could have gloried in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, for His resurrection was an announcement to the watching world that the Father is completely satisfied with the finished work of His darling Son. He was raised for our justification. He might have gloried in the ascension of the Lord Jesus, for He led captivity captive, and His followers glory in His great victory. He might have gloried in the second advent of the Lord Jesus, for the Lord shall soon descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, to be admired in all them that believe. He might have gloried in the great coronation of the Lord Jesus, for on that day it is written, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all, listen, all of these things are worthy of our worship. All of these things are worth our adoration, for there has never been another like Him, nor shall there ever be. He has no rival. He has no equal. He's the Son of God, and He is God the Son. Truly, there is none like Him in all the earth who is a God likened unto our God. He is marvelous. He is magnificent. He is majestic. He is transcendent. He is beyond. All of these things are worth our worship. Oh, but listen this morning. The one thing that is worth more than anything else, the one thing that ought to stir worship within us, the one thing that ought to draw our affections towards heaven, the one thing that ought to bring tears to our eyes, the one thing that ought to draw a shout out of our souls, the one thing that ought to cause us to glory in the most, is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, it is the cross that is on display. The cross is at the front of the line. This constellation is chief in the sky of Paul's theology. He had the cross for his philosophy. He had the cross for his tradition. He had the cross for his gospel. He had the cross for his glory and nothing else. And such is the case with you and I this morning. The cross is our banner. The cross is our theme. The cross is our anthem. The cross is our hope. Brother, the cross is our standing. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did not say that he would glory in a cross. There's been many a thieves and murderers and rapists and criminals alike that have died the death of the cross. But Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This cross is special. This cross is different. This cross is peculiar. This cross is significant because this cross had an ornament upon it that was worth more than infinite eternities. Upon this cross, brother, hung the Lord of creation, the King of glory, the Creator God, the Sovereign of the universe. Upon on this cross hung the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. Upon this cross hung the darling Son of God. This cross, brother, ought to demand our attention. This cross ought to draw a shout out of us. This cross ought to stir worship in us. This cross ought to arrest our poor pondering minds as we survey the glory of heaven, the apple of the Father's eye, the King of glory upon this cross. Oh, what glory there is in the cross. For this cross is the very cross of very God Himself. This is the cross of the Lord Jesus. And this same Jesus went to the cross and He stepped in front of the wrath of God and absorbed the full blow of the wrath of God towards us within Himself. Paul says He was delivered up for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. There are many, as I'm finding the runway here, there are many people who There are many people here this morning who are choice servants of God. And perhaps you're here with a hurting heart. As I tried to seek the Lord on what God would have us to preach this morning, what better way to encourage your heart than a reminder of who it is that we are serving this morning? Amen. What better way to stand here on this Monday morning, the first Monday morning of this meeting, than to tell you of who it is we are serving and what our great and majestic King has accomplished on our behalf. It is my prayer that you'll leave out of here today with worship in your heart, knowing what a privilege it is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, what a mighty God we serve. What a precious Lord we have, and what a glorious cross we uphold. Amen. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, preacher.